So, throughout this year, we have really been, I've really, well, throughout the years, I should say, I've really been pursuing discussions that focus on love, and not just love that have to do with that which we would expect to find between husband and wife, but even love that has to do with conscience and the way we handle our social lives and our political lives. Well, I'm taking us back to a discussion now that I had that focused on love, tax cuts, and the costs of those cuts. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you back with me. I hope that the last few days have been going well for you. And having said that, I know that we all face challenges in life. There's just no way around that. How are you doing when it comes to developing ways of dealing constructively with those challenges? That's what we do. We don't, play games like trying to pretend like we don't have challenges. We don't play games like pretending like the challenges don't affect us. No, it's a whole lot easier in the long run rather than to deny the challenge or pretend that the challenge isn't affecting us, to learn how to deal with it and to minimize the challenge of negative circumstances and their impact on our lives, to minimize it as much as we can. All right. One of the ways that we can go about the business of learning how to develop ways of dealing well with conflict, challenge, adversity, trials, tribulations, is by allowing ourselves to let love be a major part of our lives. Now, I know that can be challenging in and of itself for a lot of people, because for one thing, a lot of people really are not taught to love. Now, I know that might sound strange, saying taught to love. What do you mean taught to love? Doesn't that come automatically? No, it doesn't. It would seem that way because of how easily we see some parents just express love, affection for and with their children. I'm thinking particularly now about when a baby is born. That doesn't even have to wait till then. You can have a mother who's pregnant. And even though she typically becomes more and more uncomfortable physically, as the baby develops more and more inside of her and her stomach gets bigger and bigger and her pelvis is stretching, causing some discomfort very often with the pelvic bones, the muscles in there, and all of that as her body's preparing for delivery. Even then, you can have the mother, the father, loving their child while the child is still inside the mother, hadn't even been born yet. And they may occasionally, father may go over there and kiss mommy's tummy, because he's certainly kissing mommy's tummy, but he is directly sending the kiss to his child who's inside of mommy's tummy. He and mommy will talk with the baby while the baby's inside. All this is going on while the baby is still in the womb. Then the baby is born, and we're able to hold our babies. We're able to talk with them while they're looking at us. They're paying attention to us while they're in the womb, but now they can actually look at us while we're talking to them. And we can look at them. And we're looking into each other's eyes, baby looking into parent's eyes, parent looking into baby's eyes. And parent can put the finger in the palm of the baby's hand, and the baby will wrap his or her fingers, hand around the parent's finger. I know a lot of people say that's just instinctive, but still, that baby knows physical contact is being made. The baby's hand, parent's finger. And we're just loving, 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 and we're feeding our baby and talking with our baby, putting the powder on the baby after changing the diaper, and we're laughing with the baby. Get to the point where we tickle the baby a little bit and the baby laughs and we laugh. Baby continues to grow and develop, and next thing we know, our child is crawling. Next thing we know, our child is walking. And we're just steadily showing affection, showing our love for our child. And the child grows up having some idea of how to do what we did. And it seems like, you know, when it works out like that, it seems like love just comes automatically. But it doesn't. Think about the studies we've read about and heard about where children did not receive, babies did not receive love, affection, warmth after being born. And so instead of having a situation wherein the children are continually shown affection, have love for them expressed to them, you have children who get the exact opposite. They are given their meals when it's time for their meals. They have their diapers changed when their diapers need to be changed. They're washed or, you know, given a little sponge bath when they need to be cleaned, and they're kept in clean, fresh clothes. But they don't have anyone holding them just for the purpose of holding them close and expressing love and affection. They don't have the experience of having someone talk to them, sing to them, laugh with them. They don't have any of that. All they have is the meals with the water, the milk, I should say. As they get older, add some water to the mix. They have their diapers changed. And I mean the diapers changed on a timely basis. They're not forced to have all that waste on them for hours at a time. No. Almost the moment that diaper needs to be changed, it comes to someone's attention, the diaper needs to be changed, that diaper is changed. They're kept clean, and they're kept in clean clothes. But once all that's done, once they're fed, they're just put back into the crib. And that's it. They're on their own. They're fed or given their milk, and they're burped, put back into the crib, and they're on their own. They have to entertain themselves the best they can. They have to experience warmth whatever way they can experience, because no person outside of themselves is giving it to them. No human being. And what they found, as many of you know, is that the brains of these children literally develops in ways very, very different, that are very different from the development of the brains of children who do receive love, affection, and warmth. Their brains literally develop differently. And whereas the children who are receiving continual expressions of affection and love and warmth are able just naturally to give that back to someone else, the children who did not receive the warmth, the love, the affection, naturally are not able to give back, because they wouldn't be giving back. They never received it in the first place. And so it's impossible for them to give back what they never received. And since they never, and their brains literally develop differently, they're not able to connect mentally with affection, compassion, etc. Their brains are literally different. This isn't about attitude. Literally, their brain. And that's something that is so important for us to keep in mind. You know, I've been sharing with you for quite a few years now that we are our spirit and our body. And some of the emotions that we experience, and even when we talk about expressing love, a lot of that has to do with our brains. And so the person who never received love, affection, warmth, never knew what it was to experience compassion, will not know how to do that. That is not something that is just in us automatically. It's something that can be passed into us automatically, but it's not there automatically just because we're born. And so a person can have their brains function, doesn't matter whether they're male or female, have their brains function very, very differently because their brains are formed. The form and the function of the brain are very, very different. Those parts of the brain that develop in such a way as to empower us, to enable us to be affectionate, to love and to show love, that's not developed. Those parts of the brain are literally not developed in the children who were just in the experiments, just given the basics of what their bodies needed to survive. Their bodies were being cared for, but not their souls. Their brains were not being cared for to the extent that love, their brains were underdeveloped because their brains were undercared for. Brain is part of the body. And to the extent that we feed the rest of the body, we feed the brain too. But wow, you talk about a lack, talk about neglect, a lack of love. But that's one of the things that we need to help us develop in life. So, talking about love and helping us deal with, well, bad moments in life, which we're all going to experience. Love. It's important that we deliberately show love, parents, to our children. Show them love on a regular basis. Don't just say it. Say it and show it. Say it and show it. Say it and show it. And be consistent with it. I'm not saying don't ever punish them, because a lot of children understand intuitively that when parents let them get away with, I shouldn't say murder, but, you know, don't discipline them the way they should be disciplining them. A lot of children recognize that, and they take that as a sign that the parents do not love them. Yes, parents, as ironic as it may sound, very often, because children just intuitively understand that discipline, correction, punishment even, should be part of the family equation mix. If parents are letting children get away with disrespecting the parents, parents are letting siblings get away with disrespecting, even harming siblings, and the parents are seldom, if ever, correcting, disciplining, very often children will take that as a sign that their parents don't love them, because they'll say, if my parents loved me, they wouldn't let me get away with all that stuff I do. And that is a real conclusion that children, and when I say children now, I'm thinking more along the lines of preteens and teenagers. They will conclude, my parents have been letting me get away with all this stuff all this time. They don't love me. And don't let that child end up in lockup somewhere after realizing that their parents rarely, if ever, disciplined them, corrected them, rebuked them, punished them. They end up in lockup, and then they're asking the question, well, if this was something that could happen to me just because I was used to getting my way, why did my parents punish me so that I would stop that foolishness and not end up in lockup? My parents must not love me. don't want that to be the case. So we're not saying that when you love your children, one of the ways that you show that is by not ever punishing them. No, we've had experts on this program who have let us know. No. Part of the love equation is correcting as necessary when necessary. Disciplining as necessary when necessary. So we love. We're dealing with all kinds of badness in the world, and it's not just as grown folks. Our young adults, our teenagers, our preteens, our pre-preteens, everybody is having to deal with increased madness in the world. We got to learn to deal with it. And so what do we do? Well, we're going to be talking about love. See how we can see if we can at least try to make things better. I'll be right back.